but don't play with me, 'cause you're playing with fire.
Good morning, welcome to Playing with Fire, Long Island's only food, wine, and lifestyle show. I'm your host, Tom Shortell, and I'm here with co-host, dear friend, and producer, Stu Schrager. Good morning, Stu.
Good morning, Tom.
What's happening?
Just the summer is getting away from us.
It's almost over. I was in the water for the first time yesterday, actually. I took my grandkids to the beach and in Jamesport, and we had a fun day, and I actually got in the water for the first time. Usually, you know, I go swimming a couple of times in the summer. Haven't had a chance. You know, played some golf in the morning and then went to the beach in the afternoon. It was my first full day off in about a month and a half. So then I actually grilled the kids some steaks for dinner. We had some fun. It was fun.
Good That's day. Very, very nice.
Yeah, it was a good day.
Last week we had a repeat because of a scheduling issues.
Yeah, that's me.
And we're back.
Yeah, I'm usually the culprit when it comes to that, but I apologize. Hey, you know where I went last week? I went to. Have you ever been to Felice's in Roslyn?
No.
You gotta go. They have a couple in the city, and they came out here to Roslyn. It's an Italian restaurant, and it's an Italian restaurant the way I love to eat. You know, so maybe it's just idiosyncratic, and I just like it, but. You know, they have some really interesting things on the menu, and there's a couple of things on there if you're, you know, kind of, afraid of food, or, you know, you have some phobias and stuff, you can certainly find something to eat there. It's classic in its delivery, and they have a really interesting wine list. They have a fun Wines by the Glass program. I mean, it's just everything I think a restaurant should be, and they also have a little outdoor section that overlooks the pond there, you know, the Roslyn Pond. So they're kind of set back from the road. You got to look for it. You have to access it through a little alleyway there off Main Street. Well, whatever that's called there. I don't remember. It's the main road right in the village. And, you go down this little hallway. Well, I should say alleyway. And then the entrance is there on your left. It's really, really nice. They have a bar on the left where I prefer to sit. And then they have some dining rooms off to the right-hand side and, excuse me, a little outdoor area, you know. So, the pastas are fabulous. I actually had something that I would almost never really order in a restaurant. We ordered lasagna, and we split it. But it was lasagna with black truffle and porcini mushrooms. It was really interesting, you know.
Is interesting, because when I think lasagna, I think of red sauce, white noodles.
Yeah, and a whole lot of ricotta cheese. Yeah.
And some either sausage or ground beef.
But, you know, when you're in Italy, lasagna doesn't have ricotta cheese in it. It's not this big, you know, stack of, you know, cheese and noodles. It's basically bechamel, which is a cream sauce, bolognese, which is a meat sauce, and the pasta. That's it. You know, and cheeses, obviously. You got Romano cheese, maybe a little mozzarella, whatever. But, they don't make it like we make it here. I don't make it like that either.
So I had an interesting... I love the fact that you say the one you had truffles, and that was still with a red sauce?
Yeah, it was.
Interesting. Truffles with a red sauce.
It was very good.
I once had a deconstructed lasagna, mm-hmm. which was squares of the pasta mixed with everything else, and it was good. I guess, to me, lasagna is all about, though, the sauce. If the sauce is no good, then I don't enjoy it. But I guess that's the same with any pasta.
Yeah, well, you know, lasagna, to me, you know, when you make it the way I make it, and I make it the way Marcella Hazan makes it, I make it without ricotta. I make it with a little bechamel,
put melted cheese on top?
Yes. But I don't use any ricotta cheese. I use fresh grated Parmesan or Pecorino, or sometimes a combination of both. And then... in my bolognese, I'll use some sausage and some beef, so it gives it a little extra punch. But when you eat a lasagna like that, you don't walk away feeling like you swallowed a small farm animal, you know? it's like it's lighter, and, you know, you can have some and not feel, oh, my God, what did I do, you know? We had a couple of apps. I don't remember. It was about a week and a half ago now. I don't remember what appetizers we had, but... you know, everything there is just really done well. They have excellent olive oil that they serve with the bread. The bread comes out warm. I mean, they're just doing everything right. Like I said, we had a couple of interesting interesting wines by the glass. I'm trying to think. We had a Vermentino. We had a Vernaccia that was fabulous. And then I had a red. I had a Gamay from California, believe it or not. But yeah, it was just an excellent meal. Every time I go there, I walk away smiling, you know, which is, you know.
So where in the village of Old Roslyn is this?
It's on the north side of the street. It's Old Northern Boulevard, they call it. That's the main road that goes right through the town where they used to shut it down on Thursday nights years ago. But it's on the south side of the street, on the pond.
There used to be something called Friend of a Farmer in that day.
That's the building.
Oh.
That's the building where Friend of a Farmer was. And so it backs up. You have to go in through an alleyway. There's a small sign on the sidewalk. You know, it's maybe, I don't know, 3 feet high or whatever. And you just go down the alleyway. It's on the left. It's just a great place. It's, you know, like I said, it overlooks the pond, and they have an outside seating area.
Roslyn intrigues me. There's so much history there. I mean, real history, meaning Revolutionary War and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, but I used to live in that area on the North Shore, and what intrigues me is that we used to have birthday parties where kids would go to see a movie at the right by the clock tower.
There's
a movie theater, and then there was I think the restaurant was called Raffles or something.
Yeah,
that was
Raffles
that way.
Yeah,
and obviously the Jolly Fisherman. But the movie theater is a sign that says "See you soon" for like 20-something years.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I wish I had the type of money that I could pay taxes and have a building sit empty.
Yeah. Why would you want to sit empty?
Well, I mean, it just means that you don't care,
yeah,
I guess unless there's something, you know, unforeseen.
Yeah,
but
it could be foreclosed on, and the sign was never changed.
Whatever it is, it just that's money just disappearing.
You know, Roslyn used to be a hub of activity. I mean, you know, my father's place back then.
You had American
ago.
Blues or something. I think
Blues.
That's where
U.S.
Blues. U.S. Blues. I think Madonna played there in the day.
Yeah, you know, I had a friend of mine, a high school guy, Brian Lilly, his name was. He's a very talented artist. I mean, a guy could draw anything. Turns out he was doing tattoos for a while, but then he went into painting motorcycles. And he just did these incredible paint jobs on these motorcycles. He was a bouncer there. Big guy, red hair, good-looking guy. Anyway, they used to shut the street down on Thursday
nights. Yeah, Thursday nights.
Couldn't drive through there. And it was just one big party. It was a lot of fun. And you know, then they stopped the fun committee, got a hold of that, and said, you know.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about this before, I guess, when Epi was on the show with us, who was the proprietor of my father's place. But
yeah.
Peter Tall or Jimmy Cliff or something. Peter Tosh was scheduled to play over at my father's place. And first of all, my father's place in the day was literally 6-foot wooden tables with chairs in front of, very grungy. What it was.
A little bowling alley.
It's still around in a new variation. It's at the Roslyn Hotel.
In the basement.
And
right?
It went from, you know, being this grungy scene to now everybody has money in that area, at least. And now it's velvet and marble.
Oh boy.
It's a really beautiful performance room with a restaurant. If I'm not mistaken, there's a lot of Indian food. I guess the ownership is Indian.
Oh.
So there's a bar restaurant, and then there's the performance area where they also serve food when there's entertainment. Just an incredible setup. The Roslyn Hotel is also one of those weekend hotels where if somebody's having a wedding or a bar mitzvah, they're putting the guests up.
Yeah,
if you
sure.
walk in there on a Friday, you'll see behind the check-in area like 100 mini shopping bags, which is the goodie bag.
Yeah, yeah.
And swag. Then there's a lot of industrial, commercial and businesses in that area, in the Harborview.
Yeah, the shops, yeah.
There's a lot of offices and stuff, and there's a couple of hotels in the industrial area. But again, if somebody wants a nicer ambiance, you could during the week it's usually pretty booked. But so the story goes, when I was in college 100 years ago, my father's place just was the center of the town.
Mm-hmm.
And just like you said, Thursday
night
was
live music on Long Island,
was a night where they literally closed the road and all the college kids were home or whatever. It was just the scene, to say the least. But Peter Tosh was scheduled to play there, and he had been collaborating with some band called the Rolling Stones or something.
Some and, obscure band.
Mick Jagger and Keith Richards were very involved with him at that time. And the rumor was that they were going to be there for the performance. And I believe they did. But as crazy as Thursday nights was on a normal circumstance, this night it was like overpowered.
Bizarre, yeah.
But the village of Roslyn and Old Northern Boulevard really, really is incredible. There's been so many nice restaurants over the years. We just mentioned Friend of the Farmer, George Washington Manor, which is now Hendrick's Tavern, mm-hmm. the Jolly Fisherman. And then you go up.
Are you forgetting Lemongrass and Teas?
That's right. That's a little bit of Tom Shawdell there. Yeah. And then when you made that turn onto, I guess it was Roslyn Road, when you're up, when you're traveling, I guess it's like sort of south, when you get to Northern Boulevard and the Viaduct. But there's a whole bunch of shops and restaurants now. I think it's Besito, and there's a sushi restaurant, I think.
Yeah, that's the same one that's in Babylon. I can't think of any. Kotobuki.
And a really, really nice cafe and bakery. I'm not sure if it's there anymore. Diane's.
Yeah, Diane's is still there. There's a new place still called, I think it's called the Griffin, which is in that shopping center where Besito is now. I've been meaning to check it out. I haven't gotten over there yet.
And then you have Kima, which is one of the Mediterranean restaurants that are in town. There was another one, I think, in that area.
There's a beautiful place right next to Kima called Alto, which is kind of like an Italian sort of osteria wine bar. Really well-chosen wines, great wines by the glass, and a lot of small plates. We can go in and share a whole bunch of things. And all the food's good. I've been there a few times. It's very good.
And in the day across from where Besito and Kotobuki is, was a restaurant called Taverna, which was basically an Italian restaurant, but it was not a red sauce Italian restaurant. Mm-hmm. I think that was the first time I ever had aglio olio.
Aglio olio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just
garlic and oil.
Yeah. We used to go there Sunday nights. My in-laws lived in Roslyn. Actually, my father-in-law was the mayor of Roslyn Harbor. So we always gathered at
married into royalty, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Look out.
But we used to gather there on Sundays, and we ended up going out to dinner. And frequently, it was the Jolly Fisherman or this restaurant, Taverna.
Yeah.
And when we went out, it was a lot of people because it was my in-laws, and I had four people in my family, eventually five, and my sister-in-law had four. So it was a large crowd, but it was always...
I hope he paid, being the king.
Yes, he did.
Oh, good. Yeah, glad to hear that.
You know, I had to pay my penance, which was to show up to play tennis with him on Sunday mornings, but it was all good. But
I'm
Roslyn,
trying to picture you in white shorts and some sneakers.
But Roslyn really is a wonderful area. And then when you get into Glenhead and Glen
That's
Cove,
all beautiful up this, there.
And I've said this also before, that Glen Cove was the first time that I ever experienced sushi. Again, looking back in my life, I remember yogurt wasn't always a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, it became popular. Bottled water wasn't a thing.
No, you drink out of a hose when you were a kid, you know.
Yeah. You know, soda cans didn't necessarily have pop tops or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, you had to open up with a church key.
Yeah.
We've evolved.
It's interesting that, you know, again, growing up, I didn't have sushi, I didn't have yogurt, I didn't have bottled water. If I only knew about the bottled water.
How about helmets and elbow pads and knee pads and all that stuff? You didn't have any of that either. No seat belts.
Hey, listen, my roller skates had four wheels, not yeah. three, because I think rollerblades have three consecutive. Yeah. And I had another key. I had a skate key
sure.
for my roller skates because they went over. Your sneakers or shoes.
Yeah, yeah. No, it was a completely different world back then. I mean, we've gotten so safe that it's almost antiseptic at this point, you know. Thank God for lawyers. I mean, that's where it all comes from. Everybody's suing everybody. You turn around, there's lawsuits everywhere. You're not allowed to do anything. It's hilarious.
So when we last gathered, you and I, sitting face-to-face, I was about to celebrate my birthday weekend. Mm-hmm. And It was a really, really nice time I'd like to share with everybody. So my birthday was on August 1st, which was Saturday. So Friday night, ended up going to see Rod Stewart.
Really?
At Jones Beach. And you might be familiar because you're sort of sometimes involved with the East End. There was also a charity show with Rod Stewart.
Oh, yeah?
Like on the 29th or something.
We're out East?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, but at any rate, I got to see him on Friday night.
How's his voice?
Voice is incredible. Yeah. I have to say he was a little badgered. It was during the heat spell. He looked a little haggard. His cheeks were very rosy, and he was sweating like no tomorrow. But his voice was wonderful, It was just a great night of memories and enjoyment. It was just one of those nights when you kick back your arm around your other half, and you just enjoy the evening.
Tonight's the night.
Yeah. Richard Marx opened up. I don't know if you're familiar with him. He was an 80s artist or whatever. Yeah. But all in all, it was a very, very, very nice evening. And then Saturday, and the weather the whole weekend was really great. Saturday, I had a full day, to say the least. My kids got together and had me over for a brunch.
Nice.
And we hung out at one of my daughter's homes. And then I picked up Carrie, who was running around trying to catch up with herself. And we met my cousin out in Smithtown at a restaurant called La Familia.
Mm-hmm.
My cousin Izzy had graduated from college. It's funny, she's a twirler.
Really?
So she does the thing with
the baton.
The baton, and she could throw fire up in the air and catch it and survive.
Nice.
So anyway, she graduated, so they gathered people over there.
I hope that's not what her degree was in.
No, it was not in fire throwing.
I was going to say, a master's in twirling.
And then we continued out to Southampton, and I'm continuing to be fascinated by the East End, be the North Fork or South Fork.
It's fabulous out there.
You know, it's funny. Again, I'm a man of nostalgia. The old Lobster Inn is still there, but I'm not sure if it's really a dining.
It's still a restaurant.
But is there also condos there or something? Or
I don't think they built condos there. I think it's just the rooms.
But my friends live, I guess, north of there. There's a road that takes you onto the
east of there. North of there is the water.
Right, but there's a community.
Yeah.
So, and I guess that's the bay.
Mm-hmm.
So, Peconic Bay.
Yeah.
So, they have a home there. My dear friend Ronnie passed away a couple of years ago. So, his widow, Ginny, lives out there, and her kids all come out to visit her on the weekend. And I got to say, for somebody that wanted to plan for the future. They lived in Holbrook, and they sold their home, and they moved to Southampton. And the dream was that this would be the meeting place for the family going forward.
Mm-hmm.
And again, thank God for Ginny that this fantasy came to reality, because she's always surrounded by her children and grandchildren. And it was beautiful. It was a perfect night sitting outside on the water. And it's funny, I guess it's just such a crazy time of year that there's so much traffic. Trying to make a turn, we were traveling east, and we needed to go sort of north to get to the bay.
Yeah.
And you can wait.
Oh, 20 minutes. It's insane.
And doing that is easy. It's even worse trying to get out of the community. But we were going to go into Southampton for dinner, and it was too many of us, so we ended up just bringing in some Chinese food, which was interesting.
Yeah, Chinese food on the bay.
Yeah, no, you know,
it's not the same.
I could have figured out something better, but it was all about being together. So all in all, it was just great. What was really cool is just the way the day progressed is going to Smithtown and then going out to Southampton. It was like only an hour from Smithtown to Southampton, so it was just so easy.
Yeah, you just got to avoid the trade parade. You can't. There's certain times of day you can't travel out there. You know, I remember I'm going back probably 20, 25 years ago. I left my place in East Hampton to come to Babylon. see my parents for something. It was Memorial Day weekend. It took me an hour and 47 minutes. I'll never forget. Hour and 47 minutes to get from East Hampton to the Shinnecock Canal. You're talking about two towns, you know, three towns. It was insane, you know, bumper to bumper. And, you know, the back way, which all the locals, like myself, know, you know what I mean? Jerry Delafamina, who was a big advertising executive out there, opened up a restaurant, Delafamina. It's actually a very good restaurant. And his daughter published a book telling everybody where the back way was. Thanks a lot. You know what I mean?
That's so funny.
So now there's no way to get off the...
That's so funny. Because in the day, there was something called Super Saturday, which was a charity event where all the designer showrooms in the city would take their samples, donate them, and it was a celebrity flea market.
Uh-huh.
Even you benefited from it because there was once a TS towel or something, which I had to get for you.
That's right.
But it was an incredible day. Literally, if it was inclement weather expected or it was going to be too hot, they would put up like a tent across like a polo field. It was at the Arc. It was like an art center.
Oh, yeah, in Southampton, yeah.
Actually, I think it was considered Watermill, but...
I'm thinking of a different thing then.
But it was just an art area, and it was just an incredible day. It was so crazy because they would just have... each showroom would just have a table, and I'm not joking. Women came prepared to try on clothes when there was no dressing room. So the women were either stripping down to their underwear or had bathing suits on so that they could just try on stuff as you go. And it was a crazy, crazy...
You didn't look, did
you? No, I always was looking at my shoes.
Yeah.
But and the way the day worked is they started with whatever the pricing was.
Mm-hmm.
And as the day progressed, they would lower the prices as the inventory depleted.
Sure.
So it was crazy. And I'll never forget one time... Kerry was looking at some fancy shoes, Jimmy Choo or Tristan Louis Vuitton or something.
Uh-huh.
And at the end of the day, somehow somebody didn't pick up whatever they had reserved.
Mm-hmm.
And there's Kerry fighting with Kelly Ripa over a pair of shoes. I don't remember who won, but it was just, it was the craziest, greatest day. It was just so, so exciting. And then I remember I was out there with some political people, and I think the woman's name was Carolyn McCarthy.
Yeah.
She was a politician in the city.
She was the wife of wife of the man that got shot in a train.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But she also had a place out in the Hamptons, so we were with her. She needed to get to her house, so I drove her there. And getting to see, I wasn't familiar with that area.
Yeah.
And, you know, getting to see the homes and what's really cool is I I'm a novice. I guess most of these expensive homes are all surrounded by shrubbery, but shrubbery that's like, I'm exaggerating, 20 feet high.
Yeah, they're more like privets.
Privets, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like perfect. It's like you just go into Wonderland.
Oh, it's, listen, I lived in East Hampton forever, and you know, you have the super rich, you know, the $80 million homes, and then you got the kind of rich, the $40 million homes, and you have the almost rich $1 million homes, and you have the rest of us, you know what I mean, at whatever level we're at. But I'll tell you a funny story about shopping in East Hampton. I was dating this woman for years, and we're walking around. It was one of those spectacular October afternoons, you know, when there's no humidity and the sun's out and it's still about 75 degrees. And we're walking through town, and I'm trying to get her to go to Montauk, right? And we're passing London Jewelers. She goes, let's go into London Jewelers. Now, I want to go into London Jewelers like I want an enema, right? There's no way. I'm not going into London Jewelers. It's too gorgeous out here. No, forget it. We're going to Montauk. No, I want to go to London Jewelers. I'm not going in there. 5 minutes later, I'm in London Jewelers, right? So she's looking around. I'm amusing myself with watches. I don't wear one, but, I'm amused at the watches. And so I see her over in the earring section. Right. And she's a beautiful woman anyway. She's got this long curly hair. Right. And she's got this earring out. And she's got a guy and he's got the little black felt thing with all the earrings on it, you know, and she's trying them and holding them and looking in the mirror, holding them by her ear. And she waves me over. Come here. Right. So what? She goes, what do you think of this? And just this really pretty diamond drop earring, right? And as she puts it up to her ear, I see that little tag, you know, where the price is that they never let you see on the back. And it turns around and there's $6,000 for the earrings. She says, what do you think? I said, I think they make your ass look fat, right? So she starts laughing because she gets me, right? Now the guy's looking at me like, there goes my sale, you know? Are you kidding me? There's no way I'm spending $6,000 for a pair of earrings, you know? Anyway, anytime after that, anytime she wanted anything, you know, I said, I don't think so. I think it makes, you know, don't do that. Anyway, we both had a hard laugh out of that anyway. Thank God she has a sense of humor.
So that reminds me of a quick story. I'm at the Americana Shopping Center with... I've referred to her as my assistant in error on previous episodes of Playing with Fire, but Janine, who was one of the sales managers here,
yes,
and I had a moment of senioritis, and I'll never live it down saying that she was my assistant, but we were coordinating an event for Rally Motors up at Toku.
Great place.
Yeah. And when we're done, we're walking, and there's London Jewelers. Like, they have a London Jewelers there. And we walk in, and Janine starts play acting. She goes, honey, this necklace, it's gorgeous. How, you know, she goes, our anniversary is coming or something,
yeah,
you know.
Great.
And she shows me something. I think it was Bulgari.
Yeah.
But it was like a $20,000, you know, necklace.
Yeah, put it on your card.
And she goes, oh, I'm not sure if it goes with what I'm wearing on Saturday evening. But she went through the whole thing, and you know, the I don't know how the salespeople handle things. First of all, at these really high-end shops, it's not like the 5 and 10 when people get online, and I'm dating myself, 5 and 10.
Yeah, yeah.
Or Woolworths. When there's a line at the register and, you know, you're buying stuff, you know, at these places, if they sell, when you bought the, or looked at the watch or whatever, if they sell one piece of jewelry,
yeah,
that can
make the whole day.
It can be amortized for the whole day, just sure, like you said.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't know what they do to keep busy. I guess you have to dust the jewelry or something.
I don't know. To me, I never wore it. You know, I'm not a jewelry guy. I don't have necklaces. I don't have watches. I don't have bracelets, any of that. So to me, it's silly. I don't buy it either. I don't buy it for anybody. I'd rather buy experiences, you know. The jewelry thing, I guess it's nice if you like it, but it's like cologne. I was passing a guy the other day who must have swam laps in whatever cologne he was wearing. It was like there was like 6 feet around him was stinking up. You're stinking up the entire outdoors here, you know. And I was walking into a restaurant. I'm like, the last thing I want to sit next to is this guy. I want to smell the food. I want to smell the wine. I don't want to smell your cheap ass cologne, you know.
Well, it's not always cheap ass, but that's a funny story. You always in conversations spark memories or things that I want to talk about. So I've been going to a lot of shows at Jones Beach this summer. And I have a lot of friends there, and I'm talking to one of the head of the ushers. And while I'm talking to him, somebody comes up and they say, I really need to have my seats changed. I'm sitting next to somebody that is, their cologne is overpowering me. And I'm listening to this, and then it made me think of a story with Kerry. Kerry does a lot of traveling, and she usually takes an Uber to the airport.
Yeah.
Well, her latest hobby is finding the ladies' room as soon as she gets to the airport.
Right.
And puking.
Oh.
Because a lot of the Uber drivers overdo it with their cologne, and between that and their driving skills... she has to like run out of
She's
the car, get to the bathroom, and take care of business.
Oh my God!
So it was just funny to hear that. And again, there's a lot of people that do like you said, they overdo. I guess everything in moderation is usually
some people
a success.
Underdo. You know, I was stuck on a plane next to somebody who underdid, and I couldn't. It was so bad. It was like, dude. I mean, you can't be serious. So I got up and I said to the stewardess, listen, this is a flight to Italy too. You know, it's going to be like 9 hours. I said, I can't sit next to this guy. She goes, well, sir, there's no other seats open. Okay, then you sit there, and I'll sit in your flight seat. So she goes, what? I said, just sit there. She comes over to me. She sits down. She gets up. She goes, okay, follow me. You know, she's going to put me in a cockpit.
Wait, so that sparks another crazy story. So this wasn't Kerry. I can't say who it was, but it wasn't Kerry.
Yeah, yeah.
And because I'm saying it's not Kerry,
it's
really not Kerry. It really isn't. But so I have a female friend that was traveling on an airplane.
Uh-huh.
And
this sounds like a once upon a time story.
She was sitting in her seat, and all of a sudden, the gentleman was like getting overly engaging, in conversation. And then next thing you know, he's like patting her on the shoulder, getting a little touchy feely, and she was like aghast.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, she went to the stewardess, but this gets really crazy, and explained what's going on. She goes, the plane was full. She goes, but I can't sit next to this guy anymore.
Yeah.
You know? And the guy had a drink or whatever, then the stewardess starts questioning her, and she goes, so what was going on? Was he, touching your love handles? So it went from bad to worse.
Yeah, really.
But that was pretty crazy. But it also reminds me of the time that I used to have a manufacturing business.
Uh-huh.
Well, my family did. And I was sort of quasi the office manager. I guess I shared that. Again, I'm so old, I actually had a secretary that took shorthand.
Yikes.
They'd come in with their little steno books actually, take shorthand. And you talking about being the king, it was pretty cool because my secretary would come in with a book that was like partitioned, and on each page was another letter that she had typed for me.
Uh-huh.
So, she'd flip the book, ask me for a signature or whatever.
Yeah.
But as I just remember, and there's a sad part to the story and a funny part. When you're in a management position or in charge of different people, I actually once had a situation where the police came up to the office and asked for this woman. And as it turned out, her husband had passed away.
Oh, boy.
And they came to notify her of what was going on. That was terrible.
Of course.
But at the same time, at one point, I had to ask a person to go home and shower because the rest of the staff was like,
I know. That's happened in a restaurant a couple of times. I have a friend who had a gas station in Rockville Center, right? And he had an attendant who was from Eastern Europe, and he apparently never showered. So he was stinking up the entire, inside of the place. You know, they all have these like little delis now, in every gas station you can go shopping for everything, clothing, whatever, sunglasses. And so he took him aside and he goes, listen, you got to take a shower. If you're not going to take a shower, you got to spray yourself, So he says, okay. So the next day my friend comes in, opens up his shop. He's in there for about 15, 20 minutes. The guy comes in. All of a sudden, the entire shop smells like a Christmas tree. Right? He took the Pine Sol instead of the deodorant, and he's spraying himself with Pine Sol under his arms. It's like, this is something your parents, what are you, raised by wolves? I mean, how do you not know? It's good Lord. I've had the same thing in the restaurant where I said, listen, there's no way. I was talking to my sister, who was the manager. There's no way that I'm letting this guy on the floor smelling like that. So you have to go tell him. She goes, oh, yeah, thank you. It's executive privilege. I get to bypass this.
I like when, I guess it must have been Kerry, but sometimes I guess cheese has, aromas. And I think it must have been grated Parmesan.
I hope she's not listening.
No, we laugh about this all the time. But she she would call the grated cheese stinky cheese.
Yeah, yeah.
Is there any of the stinky cheese in the refrigerator?
If you want to smell stinky cheese, try Liederkranz or Limburger.
And this brings me to another. Again, our conversations are unscripted, but just lead into crazy.
You never know.
You never know. So, on the my birthday weekend, Carrie on Sunday had her family over for a barbecue, and this is the first time we ever did this. But we actually hired somebody to help assist with the barbecue duties, so we could be social. But which was pretty cool. And the guy was really good because everybody thought they was his boss. So he took it and everything with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
But Kerry served a cheese that I'm not familiar with. And I'm curious in your take. It was some sort of creamy, not that it was like a spread. It was still a chunk of cheese, but it had like apricot in it. And what's your feeling about cheeses that are blended or made with fruit or nuts in it? Should it be naked, or should it have these accoutrements?
I'm a fan of naked. You know, I think that, you know, my tastes tend to be purist to a large degree. I mean, there's some things that blend, you know, wine blends, stuff like that I like. But I don't know what cheese it was. I mean, you know, it could be a brie with something in it. It could be a camembert with something in it. It could be a soft spready.
It wasn't a soft spread. That's what was weird.
Well, it could be anything. But the bottom line is, you know, Mike, remember Mikey brought that cheese and blended with the truffles that time, you know?
Yeah.
That was brie, you know? But yeah, I don't know. I think cheese is so good on its own. And I think that the fruit and stuff, nuts, should be optional. That's why when you get a cheese plate, you know, there's fruit on it, there's nuts on it. It's not all mushed together. It's right, like, right. You know, I might not like cashews or whatever.
So diverting a little bit, but not by far, I was told, I was reading one of my magazines, my foodie magazines.
Any pictures?
This one was maybe actually was an Audible, but they were talking about if you have like a hard cheese, mm-hmm. not to throw away the rind.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it was a Parmesan or something, because they said
sauces.
To use it in the sauce or in the creation of your meatballs.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's a standard practice in Italy. You know?
As long as it's not wax, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, the wax is, you can just cut that off. You know, but yeah, the rinds. You know, and the old Italian grandmas used to save that and throw it in the tomato sauce as it was simmering. You know, just flavors it up. You know, and it comes out. I mean, you know, you pull it out. It doesn't melt completely. You know, you pull it out and throw it away at the end. But yeah, I mean, all of that, you know, there's a million ways to get flavor into food. And I'm constantly amazed at the amount of people that are terrified of flavor. It's like, it's unbelievable to me. You know, what's in that? You know, and no, I don't like this. I'm allergic to that. I had somebody tell me they were allergic to fennel. Okay. Now, unless you grew up in Sicily, how would you even know that? We didn't have fennel in this country until about 10 years ago. You know, nobody ate fennel. You were allergic to it. You're not allergic to it. You don't like it, or you're afraid of it.
When you're talking about Italian vegetables or whatever, fiocchio.
That's fennel.
That's fennel?
Yeah.
So a fiocchio salad mm-hmm. can be delightful.
Yes.
Do you do much with that?
I do occasionally. It doesn't sell much, you know what I mean? I like braising it and sticking it on the fish. It has that mild licorice flavor, you know? But it's in the same family as basil and what's the other one? I can't think of it now. It'll come to me. But, you know, it's in that anise family. I mean, that's where licorice comes from.
So tell me, if I went to Italy,
mm-hmm.
am I going to find meatballs?
Yeah, probably. You've never been, right?
No.
Yeah.
Will I find chicken parmesan?
No, you won't find that. You won't find that.
And then there's a local restaurant that I work with, and that is called Uncle Bacala's.
Uh-huh.
It's in Garden City Park. Mineola
right.
border or whatever. Yeah. But they have a take. Well, you'll appreciate this. They serve chicken parmesan, and then they have drunken chicken parmesan. Do you know how that's made?
It's got to have some vodka sauce in it.
A la vodka.
Yeah, of course.
But I also, where were we?
Can't get drunk on stuff.
My office gang, we went out to dinner at Chris and Tony's in Syosset,
mm-hmm.
and they had a chicken parmesan that was drizzled with three different sauces. So mm-hmm. you had, I guess, your chicken parmesan. It had the cheese, and then they drizzled some pesto, marinara, I guess a la vodka, and maybe something else. I don't know what else it could be. But I thought that was an interesting, just to mix it up a little bit. And that seems to be all the rage in pizza now. You can get it's usually a grandma slice, but it's got all the different sauces on it.
Yeah, it's the color of the flag, you know.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, listen, I think that anything that tastes good is in bounds, obviously, you know. I mean, the whole raging thing now is this pork chop martini, you know, that's got, I don't know, flavors of the martini, olives, whatever the hell it is. I don't remember.
Is that what it is? Because Il Bacchi?
Where's that?
In Douglaston or Little Neck.
Oh, yeah. El Baco. Yeah.
They have a veal martini, I believe. And I didn't know that it had...
It's a lemon butter sauce with, I think, olives, you know. Those martinis have lemon and olives, whatever. Yeah, I mean, look, if it tastes good, it's fine. Who cares? You know, I mean, sell whatever you want. It's America. But I think that, you know, when you start to... you know, I've been to Italy. I've studied their stuff. I kind of know how they cook over there. You know, I follow not the rules so much, but the path, you know. I try not to veer off the path too much. I leave that for other places. You know, if you want to sell pork chop martinis and, you know, I know there's a place out in Northport there that can't think of the name of it now. But they're very busy and, you know, they sell all that stuff. I mean, you look at the guy in... I think his name is Mike Landsberg or something. He has that place out in Islip, Jackson Hall. He serves 67 different kinds of lobster rolls or whatever, and the place is mobbed, you know. And good for him, you know. These two guys have created quite a following on the internet, which is how you have to advertise restaurants now. I mean, it used to be Newsday and the Times, you know, you get a review and you get busy, whatever. Now it's just all internet stuff.
What's the Italian sauce that's sort of called a peasant sauce, but it's olives and capers and...
the puttanesca?
Puttanesca.
Yeah, you know, puttanesca means whore, right?
Oh!
That's why it's spicy. Yeah, oh. Puttana is a prostitute, you know. So, yeah, it's puttanesca is in the style of the... Ladies of the evening, is this.
Now, is that ever used as a pasta sauce, or is it usually a sauce on either fish or...
Both. It's both. Yeah, I've seen it with pasta. Yeah, it's kind of a, you know, there's a million Americanized. I mean, I got a sheet down the other day at the club from upstairs that said they wanted pasta Siciliana. I have no idea what that is, right? So I look it up on the internet. Well, it could be with eggplant, but it could be like a Norma, you know, and I see this pasta a la Norma all the time. I don't know who Norma was, but apparently she liked eggplant and capers.
It's not Nona. It's
Norma. No, Norma. Yeah, she's a big eggplant fan, and she likes capers and tomatoes. So that's what it, and olives, I think. But, yeah, it's a million. Look, pasta is, pasta and tacos are the two greatest vehicles for experiment and sauces and fillings, you know, and donuts.
So here we go again. Again, you just lead me into conversation. So this past Sunday I had... dinner with mom.
Uh-huh.
First of all, I came from a clam eating contest.
Oh, Peter's.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it was...
Who won?
Well, there was a firefighter. They have two divisions, a firefighter competition and a consumer one. I left during the community one, but the person... And I only saw the first round of the firefighter one, but the guy ate like 72 clams. Mm. But I laugh because the... contestants were given 3 dozen to start with, and then I guess they kept interseeding additionals. But they're sitting there. They're sitting there.
Yeah, right over there.
Yeah, I'm just falling off my chair. They're sitting there preparing the clams, which I don't understand. One I did, the guy was like making sure they were scooped or shucked so that he could just quickly get them. But then they were putting lemon, hot sauce, cocktail sauce. Now, if I'm dining with a leisurely, enjoyable meal,
right,
I would prepare my raw bar appropriately.
Uh-huh.
But if I'm gobbling, I was going to say a bad word, stuff down, I don't think I need the accoutrements for it.
Well, the accoutrements kind of take the clam out of it a little bit, you know.
Okay.
After 65 or 66 clams, you know, that taste can get kind of, you know.
Well, and again, note, they, you know? Like... The clam eating contest this year was to help raise funds for a girl named Lindsay Rose.
She got killed
Park.
On the way to work, right?
There's been a lot of that around. There was a police officer out east that got killed on her way to work. This was a young volunteer firefighter from Levittown, and she was out with another girlfriend and a guy who was showing off, and he was recklessly driving, and he split the car in half around the tree, and the two girls were killed. I became friendly with Eddie Park, who was the father, it's just obviously life interrupted, but you know, when there's stupidity, it's that much more painful. If something's done by the hand of God, you sort of deal with it. And that's usually a health-related scenario. This is a perfectly young, giving, community-minded volunteer firefighter. And the family is just destroyed.
Oh, yeah, broken.
I've met a lot of people in my life. I've met a family in Freeport that they lost their daughter in childbirth. When she was having her child, she passed away, leaving the grandparents to fend for their grandchild, which is, you know, heartbreaking. And it's always tough to celebrate Mother's Day, you know, or any other holiday. Sure, but Mother's Day to me becomes a very tough. I want to reach out to them, and it's tough. It's tough for any of us because of the circle of life in general.
Sure.
You know,
at
one point our parents are going to leave us and whatever. But this, you know, to ultimately for the family in Freeport, you know, to give your life while you're delivering your child is terrible. And the family is a very tight Italian family, it's all about family and being together, and it's just heartbreaking. But the community has really gathered around to try to, I guess, to make sure that there's awareness that stupidity, there's no place for it.
Yeah, keep it to a minimum.
And somebody, a wise person, once said, if stupidity was only painful, we'd probably be in a better place.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's funny. I wanted to do a awareness campaign for this, the Park family. And it's not DWI. It's not, you know, drunk driving. It's just
stupidity.
It's hazardous driving and trying to make people understand. I mean, I guess you could film a video if you were on the Southern State. For some reason, the Southern State and the Bell Parkway both remind me of the ridiculousness. You have these low-lying cars and zipping, you know, in between everybody, as
it's
you do
narrow too
motorcycles. And I don't understand, you know, how people, you know, there's not more problems. But the Southern State, for whatever reason, I guess there's a lot of curves. And all this obnoxious driving, and many times it leads to fatalities.
Oh, yeah, it's terrible.
And again, when you go to the Bell Parkway, it's just like the wild, wild west.
Yeah, the Bell parking lot.
But at any rate, our thoughts go out to the Park family, and, you know, we pledge our ability to help create awareness that just responsible driving is...
you got a 3,000-pound, you know, thing there, you know, it's just... going 60, 70 miles an hour, that's a lot of responsibility.
I mean, that's some way of showing love by killing somebody.
Yeah, for sure. All right, on a brighter note, corn is coming into season now, and it's perfect. I finally got good corn last week, which was nice. I've been getting some decent stuff from down south, but now we're getting some local stuff, which is nice.
So here we go again. So I was at a barbecue the other day, and somebody came from out east. They were... it wasn't Northville Pike. What's the street that's just east of it that goes north-south, 105 or something?
105, yeah.
So they live on the corner of 105 and Sound Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And so they came to the barbecue. And what did they bring? A box full of fresh corn.
Yeah, man.
How beautiful.
Way to go.
So at the barbecue, we have some firefighters and we have some other people. Everybody's got the best way to cook the corn.
Sure.
So the firefighter says, we're going to cook it on the grill.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then somebody says, no. You just got to cut off the end and you put it in the microwave for 6 minutes right. And it's wonderful. And then the other one goes, oh, no, we need to boil a pot of water and, you know, boil it. And so the guy that's talking about doing it in the microwave is laughing. Yeah, you know, we can have the corn for dessert because it will take forever. But the gourmet foodie that was preparing the corn that way was like out of control. So, you know, she's busy watching the water boil. You know, she salted yeah. it a little bit. And then her assistant's going, oh, do we need the pink Himalayan salt or do we need yeah. the kosher salt?
Let's put some milk in the water.
You know, so at any rate, the corn is done. Mm-hmm. And then it's not like she served it with butter, you know, on the table and salt. No, she buttered the corn and salted it and then put it on the platter. That was like,
nice, took the work away.
But my question to you is, the microwave thing is interesting because it's just so convenient.
It 6 minutes in a microwave is way too long.
It gets it done. But when you're cooking corn on the grill, is there a secret or a suggestion? Do you put any butter or anything in the husk, or you just cook it in the husk
just
and you
it
do it
husk.
Afterwards?
Yeah, do it afterwards. Yeah, and you can cook corn right on the grill without the husk. You just got to pay attention. You know, you don't want to burn it. But, you know, to me, corn is, I steam it. You know, it takes 2 minutes, 3 minutes.
Well, essentially on the grill, in the husk is steaming.
Yeah.
Even the microwave is steaming.
Yeah, but 6 minutes in a microwave is just insane. I mean, it's you know, when you're cooking corn, all you're looking to do is set the color because it's pretty much edible right there, raw, you know. You set the color a little bit and you're good. I mean, you know, when I cook corn in water, if I had to do that, you know, it's in there for 2 minutes. Yeah, that's it. So 6 minutes in a microwave is insane, you know. You could cook an entire pig, you know. But, yeah, corn is, you know, especially when it's really fresh, it's delicate. You know, there's a lot of sugar in it. The flavors are there. You don't want to leach it out. That's why I tend to steam it. Or steam it in a husk, because you'll lose flavor once you put it in the water. You know, it just kind of, and the longer you leave it in there, the less flavor you're going to have because it just leaches out.
And give me a little shopping price point. I've bought corn 6-8 pieces for $3 at one point. Recently, I think I've been paying like at a farm stand or whatever, like $1 a piece.
Yeah.
What like out east? What?
I have no idea. I get this stuff commercially. So I make a phone call. I get a bag comes to the back door. I'd have to look and see what even a bag of corn costs. Probably like, you know, $25, $28, something like that. And I'll get, you know, 50 ears. So it's probably 50
cents.
About
50 cents, yeah.
That's wholesale, you know. So, but I think corn is, you know, there's a lot of people that are afraid of corn. I don't know if it's this whole, what do you call it, GMOs.
I don't know. The only person that should be afraid of corn is the ones with the braces on their teeth.
Yeah, exactly. Or the ones without teeth, you know. it reminds me of a story. I had a waiter. He had like six teeth, you know, three on the top and three on the bottom. He says to me one day, can I take one of them corns? Like, okay, can I watch? Because I want to see how you get through this. And I'm thinking it was just spaced enough where he would get a kernel every six kernels, you know, then he'd have to turn it around the exact same way and go backwards to get them again, like two or three times, you know, like a typewriter.
I remember there was a time in my life, I guess I must have been 10 or 12, I had braces and corn, eating corn wasn't the smartest thing.
No, it's terrible.
So, my mom would, I guess, scrape the corn off.
Cut it off for you? Yeah.
But and you've given us some tips over the years. You always say to do it on a plate or in a bowl so that...
Yeah, so the corn isn't all over the place.
And then you also say don't go too tight against the core.
It's like filleting fish. It's like, you know, sharp knife and don't be greedy. It's the same thing with corn. Take a sharp knife, don't be greedy, just get the ones outside. And you know, it's a great way to do corn. I mean, you know, roasting it too. I mean, once you get it off the cob... You can, you know, moisten it with a little olive oil and then roast it, you know.
But the world is crazy. The internet brings everything home. So there's a tool for everything.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a tool.
Except squeezing water out of spinach.
There you go.
Which is my next invention.
Well, isn't that spinning usually?
Yeah, spinning doesn't do it. You need you know, to do cream spinach, if you do fresh spinach, you know, like if you fill this room with spinach and steamed it down, you get maybe a cup and a half. You know, it's unbelievable, right?
No question about it. I used to do that with, not kale, collard greens maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For some reason, I like that type of vegetable with a pork chop.
Right.
And either spinach or whatever. And I would have like a 20-gallon like soup vessel on the stove.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I get a thimble.
At the end, yeah, there's nothing there. You get a forkful, you know, yeah. No, it's crazy. Spinach is like nuts. That's why most places use frozen spinach for the cream spinach because, you know, at least that's what you got, you know. I tend to use the fresh stuff, and then I got to cook 1,000,000 pounds.
But on the internet, they have a tool. I saw something to quarter your strawberries.
Oh, yeah.
It's like an apple thing, you know. But there's a corn rake.
Yeah, but if the strawberries are ripe, you're just going to crush them. You have strawberry sauce, you know. I mean, sharpen your knife.
It's so funny. You know when you go to get your inspection and they have to put the take the old
sticker off.
Yeah. Well, the corn rake is the same tool.
Yeah, yeah. It's called a knife with a different handle. Yeah. It's just learn how to use a knife. Learn how to hold it. Learn how to use it. It's a very great. It's a tool that's been around 1,000 years. It's going to be around for the next 1,000. You know, but a spinach squeezer is due for.
Well, again, I thought it was a spinner because I know for lettuce.
Yeah, but for lettuce, but it won't spin enough water out of cooked spinach because cooked spinach is, you know, it's tight.
Well, the other secret with spinach, I assume, is removing the sand from it.
Yeah, well, you need a wash. It's a triple wash, you know. We get that. Anyway, we got to get out of here. It's time.
Still. I'm having such a good time.
I know. Well, and
real quick before you go,
yeah.
We have a gift certificate to give away for Elsie Lane Wing House.
Oh, okay.
And we have 7 finalists.
Right.
I'm not going to tell you the names.
Okay.
1 through 7. Pick a name. Pick a number.
4.
Holy cow. Lois Teets. You've won a $25 gift card to Elsie Lane Wing House.
Nice.
So if you would please send us a note through fire@whli.com, fire@whli.com. We'll get your address and we'll get this mail to you, or you can stop by the radio station to pick it up.
Yeah, congratulations.
So we hope to be able to do this type of thing more often. Mm-hmm. And also remember that Smokin' Al's is a sponsor of the radio station. We thank you so much for your continued support and allowing us to stay on the air.
Yeah.
And I leave it to you to close out the show, Tom.
With Tom's 3 keys to life, like usual, life is too short to drink bad wine. Treat every meal like it was your last. Keep chocolate in your life as important as sex and pizza. And we'll see you next week.
Everybody, get ready for a treat. It's time for stepping out for something mighty good to eat. You looking for atmosphere? Well, they got it happening here. They're doing barbecue the way it ought to be. Bring your sister, brother, significant other. Bring all your pals. There's always something smoking at Smoking Al's.
It's summer, and it's time for Smoking Al's Party Catering Menu. Make your next party a smoking one with Al's ribs, barbecue meats, chicken, appetizers, and a whole lot more. Try Al's new fantasy platters in the comfort of your backyard or one of Al's party packages. With the hot weather upon us, your party's going to be smoking. Smoking Al's Massapequa Park. Call 516-799-4900. And remember, there's always something smoking at Smoking Al's.
There's always something smoking at Smoking Al's.